Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Today it's Remembrance Sunday and people around the world will be gathering and holding a 2-minute silence to remember those who have been affected by war. And so I hope you do join in the 2-minute silence at 11 o'clock. And I'm going to be pausing from our series for a moment and just looking at what God says about war, about peace, about living in harmony. So I'm going to start by reading some verses from Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, for ever and ever. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame my remnant, and those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to daughter Zion. So in Micah 4, we see a different way of life compared to what we currently experience. We see life lived as God intended it, according to God's word, his law. When we look around at the world at the moment, it might feel like we are very far away from this picture of peace and harmony. Micah begins this picture by describing the mountain of the Lord. And this has a dual meaning, as it was a physical place, the city of Jerusalem, but also a spiritual metaphor. In those times, mountains were used as symbols of the seat of power of a god, a place where a god would rule from. Other nations talked about their gods ruling from the mountaintops. There's one significant difference in the way that these other religions talked about it to the way Micah does. In the other nations, the mountains, the heavenly abode of their God, were inaccessible to mortals. But in Micah's description, all people are invited to ascend the mountain and learn directly from God. They are invited to dwell with God. I'm reminded of that passage in Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." This is the picture that Micah paints of God dwelling with his people. So we can see that Micah speaks about this happening in the last days, a period of time in the indeterminate future. But the amazing thing is, we get a foretaste of this now, because we have God in the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us now. We can experience some of God's power at work in our lives right at this moment. Thus, this picture that Micah paints of peace and harmony is something that we can have a foretaste of, but only if we allow God to transform our hearts, if we are willing to follow God's ways and not our own human ways. But what are God's ways? How are they different to life as we currently know it? What can we see in Micah's vision to call us to live differently? And then how can this cause us to live lives that attract others to the kingdom as they want to know that redeemed life that God provides? Well, firstly, we see the call to the way of righteousness instead of prejudice. We live in a world of judgment and prejudice. So often we make snap judgments about another person based on very little information. We think we know about another person's motivations and desires. We believe we can see a person's intentions. But we don't see life through that person's eyes. So how on earth can we determine their motivations or desires or intentions? I sometimes wonder how many conflicts, whether that is international hostilities or just the arguments we have with individuals, how many of those would end if we stopped making judgments and assumptions? In Micah's description, we are told that God himself will make the judgments. He alone will settle disputes and settle them with wisdom and authority. Because God is the only one capable of seeing the full truth of situations. When we leave judgment to God, then we walk in the way of righteousness because God is the righteous judge. His decisions and his decrees are right and just. How can we lean more fully on the Holy Spirit and ask him to give us wisdom instead of relying on our own human prejudices and assumptions? How can we let the Holy Spirit work in us to ease us from our prejudices and help us to put on God's righteousness? Let us learn how to seek God's righteousness when we find ourselves jumping to conclusions or making judgments. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. We've just noted that one of the causes of conflict is prejudice and judgmental attitudes. But another reason we have so much conflict is the human tendency to look only to our own self-interest rather than the way of mutual growth for all. So often we consider the needs of me, myself and I first, then we might think of the needs of my group of people, my family, my friends, my nation, my race, or sometimes, unfortunately, my church. This tribalism causes us to pursue our own personal needs to the extent that the needs of others are pushed down or even abused if it serves those selfish needs. Yet God calls us to live differently. In verse 3, we see weapons of war being transformed into tools of growth and life. In other words, weapons that had previously been used to establish the selfish interests of one against another were reshaped to become instruments that bring growth and life to all. In 2008, artist Pedro Reyes took 1,527 weapons collected off the streets of Mexico. He used a roller to flatten them and then he melted them down. And he refired the molten metal to become shovel heads. He then collected a team of volunteers who helped to plant 1,527 trees. He took that verse from Micah 4:3 and made it into a reality. Now, we're not all artists capable of collecting weapons and turning them into gardening tools, but we can ask God to transform us, to change our hearts, our attitudes, so that we think less of our own self-interest and rather seek the mutual growth and life of all. Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. How can we live that command in our everyday life? What practical changes can we make that will help us to follow the way of mutual growth? And this asks us to make changes and sacrifices that affect every area of our lives. Our habits, our worlds, our words, our shopping, our finances, our time commitments, and so on and so forth. How might God call you personally and us as a community to sacrifice self-interest for the sake of growth and life for all? Next, we look at the idea of the way of competition being changed by God to the way of contentment. We live in a world of competition. It's a dog-eat-dog world, survival of the fittest. We all want to get ahead and be the best. I remember the adverts for the British Army used to call people to be the best. There is this sense, this constant sense of competition, of comparison, striving to be above someone else. We are taught from an early age to strive to be better, to do more, to succeed more. And don't get me wrong, it has its good elements. It drives innovation, exploration, progress. But it also feeds conflict and distrust. It generates a sense of superiority and inferiority. Yet God calls us to contentment. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. So there's still that sense of productivity, as each person has contributed to the growth of a vine and a fig tree. There's also a sense of contentment with what they have and what they have done. No one is made to feel afraid or inferior. How can we learn to live lives that are both productive and content? Obviously, it comes only by relying on God. And I once again think of Paul's words to the Philippians, this time in chapter 4. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We can only live lives of both productivity and contentment if we rely on the God who gives us strength. And then the final thing I want to say, although probably not the final thing that can be said about this, is that we live in a world that follows the way of cruelty, but God calls us to the way of compassion. It seems so often that compassion is in short supply in our world. As things get harder, we find our self-interest causes us to stop having compassion for the cares of others. But we have a God who has compassion and wants to show love to the needy. He calls those who are feeling broken and rejected by society and gives them a place, a home in his kingdom. He says, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame my remnant, those driven away by a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. We all have struggles, weaknesses, worries and difficulties. Some perhaps are more obvious than others. But can you imagine a world where everyone supported each other, helping with those weaknesses and sharing the burdens, instead of exploiting them or ignoring them? Imagine what it would be like if we were vulnerable with one another and shared our needs and accepted help. We may not be able to change the world. We may not be able to see that imagined world become reality in our world right now. But we can change our own lives. We can choose to share our burdens and walk together with one another. Or we can choose to hide our struggles, pretend everything is okay, and ignore the call to help one another. Will we choose the way of compassion or the way of competition? God has chosen to dwell in us, and he wants to transform our hearts so that we reflect his glory. If we let him do that transforming work, the world we inhabit will become a better place. Are we willing to say with Micah, come, Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths.